let's start by going back to the budget vote. Some downstate Republicans voted for the plan and for higher taxes, and you did not. Why did you take that stance?
Well, for me, it was a vote that I struggled with. I live in Springfield. I live in the home of state government. I have friends and neighbors who have been impacted severely by the budget impasse. So for me, it was a real struggle as to how I was going to vote. But as it proceeded with the House passage and then the override, you know, I really, to me, thought about the fact that we do need significant change here in the state of Illinois, and especially when we talk about raising income taxes on our friends and neighbors. I really think we needed to do more for the people of Illinois to try to get a deal to move the state forward. I think my family is representative of a lot of what has happened in Illinois. I have six siblings, five of whom live out of state now, three of whom have moved to states that have no income tax, and they've retired there. When I really sat down and started thinking about this, you know, we need to change the direction of our state. We need to have a state that allows people to prosper and allows the economy to reestablish itself in our state and to move forward as a truly competitive state. And I felt that the bar wasn't there and what we had on the table when it came to spending and taxes to make that happen. And that's why I voted no.
And of course, I mentioned some of your colleagues, including fellow Republican Sarah Wojcicki-Jimenez, who also represents part of Springfield, went the opposite way, voted for that.
I absolutely understand where they come from on their votes, and you know, I give them a lot of credit. They like me, they evaluated the situation, and they just came down to a different conclusion. And I think it speaks volumes of our caucus, very honestly, with the fact that we were not of one mind on this issue. You know, we had a significant amount of members who went against basically what I thought was our caucus position and the position of the governor. But that is not going to get in our way of working together in the future. And these are good people that I respect, that I'm going to continue to work with. And hopefully we can move forward from here and try to do some good things.
Do you believe some of those changes, things that you wanted, the governor wanted, other Republicans had pushed for, do you think those can happen now in the current environment, at least after the pressure is off, to get a budget and to pass the tax increase? That's already occurred. Do you think that these changes can actually make it through at this point?
I don't. I think that now that we've gotten the budget situation resolved for this year, that takes a lot of impetus out of trying to make these big changes. I think the speaker got what he wanted. He got a budget in place and he got a tax increase in place. And I don't think there's a whole lot of incentive now to try to see some of these big changes that we're looking for, whether it's property tax relief, whether it's pension reform, whether it's some of the other issues like workers' compensation reform, an issue that I hear from many business people in our area. So I think the impetus is not there. I really don't see, despite some of my Democrat friends who said we're going to continue to work on these issues, I don't really see the desire there on the Democrat side to want to negotiate on these issues.
And Democrats might say, Republicans, stop negotiating. They didn't come to meetings. We wanted to talk more about this.
Well, I think when it comes to negotiations on these issues, there's plenty of blame to go around. But what I do know is that the Friday before we voted on the final vote on the budget and the taxes, we had what the speaker called a test vote. On an amendment to the spending package. And we had 23 Republicans on there as a show of good faith that we want to move forward with negotiations. We are willing to put votes up on the board for taxes and spending. That was on Friday. And negotiations continued into that afternoon and evening. And then the speaker broke off those negotiations on that Friday night. I would say that negotiations were getting very, very serious at that point, and the speaker broke them off.
We're talking with State Representative Tim Butler of Springfield. You touched on it a moment ago, K through 12 education funding going forward. While money was approved in the state budget, the release of that money is contingent on a new funding formula being put in place. Now, a plan has been approved. Only a Democratic version has been approved, but it hasn't gone to the governor yet. The governor says he won't sign it. He'll veto it. That could throw things into quite a whirlwind as we head into the possible start of school and whether or not money is going to go to these school districts. Where do you see things at this point? What do you think might happen?
I think it's really unfortunate that we've gotten to this point where I think games have been played with K-12 funding. Here we are coming into the end of July. We're within a month of schools starting. that games have been played to the funding formula for K-12 education across our state. I think what we should have done is fund the schools at the level that we promised them under the current formula and continue to negotiate out on a new formula, the evidence-based model, which a lot of us agree on is the path forward. And again, I think this is something that we're fairly close on, but the bill that passed the legislature that has yet to go to the governor's desk after, I think, more than a month after it's been passed, it sends far too much money, in my mind, to Chicago because it includes the pension costs for Chicago Public Schools, something that Chicago Public Schools opted out a long time ago for the state not to be responsible for the pension costs. And so if we drive these pension costs through the formula, Chicago's getting money on an uneven playing field to districts that I represent, like in Riverton and Williamsville and Tremont and areas like this, that, you know, we need to have equitable funding across the state. And what SB1 currently now, the funding bill that's out there now, it does not have equitable funding. And so that's kind of the argument that's going back and forth right now. The governor has said he's going to amendatorily veto that legislation. And I assume that the Democrats will send it to him here before long. They will have to at some point send it to him. But this really puts our schools in a bad situation because we're again putting them over a barrel because they don't quite know what the funding's going to be going into the school year that starts in a month.
Do you think school districts and parents, for example, should be concerned at this point that this could be something that lingers and becomes a real legislative showdown that ties up this money?
Well, most of the schools that I've talked to in my district, and I represent about 50 different schools across central Illinois, most of the superintendents that I talk to, they do have the ability to at least go into the school year, open schools, and get going, I think, into next calendar year is what I've heard from most of them. Now, I don't want to put those folks in that situation because they're going to be relying upon their reserves and money that they shouldn't have to spend. But I do think people should be concerned that there continue to be games played with the education funding when we're really not that far apart on what we want to do. Hopefully this can get resolved in the next couple of weeks and schools will know exactly how much money they're going to be getting coming down the pike.
The governor's made some staff changes in recent days, and some might be putting it mildly. There has been almost a complete changeover in both the policy and the politics divisions of the governor's operations. Those affiliated with the Conservative Illinois Policy Institute have been brought in. Your thoughts on those changes, what it might mean going forward to the governor and his message, and what it might mean for Republicans like yourself to work with the governor?
Well, I've been around politics and the legislative process for a long time, so I've certainly seen changes in elected officials' offices and turnover and things like that. But I am a bit concerned with what has happened over the last week or so with the governor's office, because I do believe there are a lot of good people that were doing good things for the state of Illinois that either have been let go or have left the office of the governor. And I think that's a concern for me because we are now going to have to develop relationships with people that we currently don't have relationships with in the General Assembly, I think, a whole lot. But that being said, it's the governor's prerogative. He has the ability to hire and fire the people that he wants. When people get into these positions, they know that they serve at the pleasure of the elected official, and the governor has decided to go in a different direction. So my hope is, we'll develop some relationships to try to move issues forward and try to do some good things for the state of Illinois. But, I'm going to be a little cautious moving forward to make sure that the folks that have been brought on board have the best interest of the people of the 87th District, that's for sure.
Now, one of the things that you've talked about here more recently is a call for a constitutional convention. You'd like to see that happen. Talk about your reasoning for that.
Sure. I've introduced a House joint resolution that would basically put the question of calling a constitutional convention on the ballot, hopefully for the 2018 election. How it works in Illinois under our current constitution is every 20 years, there is a question on the ballot where people have the ability to say yes or no on whether they would like to call a constitutional convention. Or the legislature can also put it on the ballot. So the last time it was on the ballot was 2008. It won't be scheduled to be on the ballot again until 2028. And my reasoning for trying to put this question out there and advocate for a constitutional convention is there are a lot of big issues out there that are constitutional issues that I think we need to resolve and try to move past or change our constitution to answer some of these questions. One example was the effort a year or so ago to get the redistricting reform on the ballot. They got almost 600,000 signatures through citizen petition to get it on the ballot, and it was not allowed to be on the ballot to draw more fair legislative districts, was not allowed to be on the ballot by a 4-3 decision from the Illinois Supreme Court. That's an issue that I'd like to see, you know, that we could address in a constitutional convention. I think there's a variety of issues, whether it's school funding, whether it's term limits, whether it's pensions, whether it's home rule. There's issues that run the gamut.
You mentioned pensions in there. I know some state employees might have concerns that opening up the Constitution could allow for some changes that might take away protections they have now for their benefits, and you represent many of those employees.
I represent a lot of state employees. It's something that I don't advocate for in changing the pension clause, but there are a lot of people around our state that discuss that. There's a lot of people that discuss, like I said, a variety of issues. The pension clause, a graduated income tax, that's a favorite of my friends on the Democrat side, and then you've got term limits, and then you've got issues like home rule. Since the last time a question on the Constitutional Convention was on the ballot in 2008, members of the General Assembly have introduced over 400 constitutional amendments to try to get them on the ballot. It's not very often that we have a constitutional amendment on the ballot. It'll be 50 years since our last constitutional convention. This state has never gone more than 50 years without having a constitutional convention. I think it's time that we at least reevaluate our governing document and see if moving into our third century of statehood, if there are things we can change to the Constitution that will allow us to move forward and prosper as a state.
That's State Representative Tim Butler, a Republican from Springfield. Thanks for coming in with us.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sean.